Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome in to the PHNX Suns podcast brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's number one sportsbook app. Don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast, and leave us a five-star review. I'm Lindsay Smith, here with Gerald Bourget, Espo, and Saul Bookman.
Ooh,
you guys sad, happy, like indifferent? You feeling confused?
I have an answer for you. Cue it, Shane.
Here at PHNX, we will literally build him his own game room.
Roll the tape, Shane. Boomba Clyde, it's Kevin Durant. Let's go. Hey. Kevin Durant, if you come to the Phoenix Suns, my friend, you and I will have a fantastic time. Get blazed! There is one guy out there that could turn this franchise completely around. It is this man, the one, the only. The Book of KD.
Yes.
That's right, baby. He will save us. Listen, Kevin Durant, listen, buddy. Listen, KD. As you think about where to go, you need to understand there is only one place, and one place only. You could turn the fortunes of a franchise to be completely on your shoulders and someone that has never won a championship before. You could be the first. I mean, Kyrie's on the move, which means KD's on the move, baby. He's coming to the Suns. Let's go.
Saul, we're sorry, and we're here for you, my friend.
You know what?
We're here for you.
Okay, see? So, At first I was like, okay, I'm ready to give up on this. It's all good. Now I'm like, you know what? Espo, you better pray to God.
Double down, Saul.
No way.
Double down, Saul. Do it.
Now, man, I'm going double as hard on KD. Let's go. KD's coming to the Valley. I don't give a shit what anybody says.
Maybe I'm just trying to reverse jinx yet again after I said, hey, maybe it could happen.
I think that was a little premature. You should have at least waited until Friday to play that. Yeah. Okay.
Nah,
all right.
Call my shot.
All right. All right,
call
Espo.
My shot.
All right, Espo.
All right. Well, let's just start with that as the first question. Are you on the team? It's completely dead, done and over with. KD to Phoenix is not happening. Or are you on the team? Well, there's still a chance.
Here, this is what I'll say. I will say that I am more in the first, or the former, I guess you would say, that I do think that this is basically dead. However, if there was one player that would flip-flop and cause a scene and try to get his way anyway, it would be Kyrie. Like, and so, and I will say this, Brian Windhorst, I believe, has been on the record saying that it's not over with Kevin Durant. Like, he still is feeling some type of way about this whole situation. So who knows?
Look, for me, it's over for the time being. It could come back up, say, December, if things in Brooklyn are looking like a mess and they decide, hey, we're going to blow this up, try to get something for Kyrie before he goes. KD wants out. But the only way you get there in the future is if you re-sign DeAndre Ayton now. So, and now we're hearing, oh, it sounds like the Suns are likely going to keep DeAndre Ayton. I think the door may be open, but not this offseason. I think it's later on the regular season.
I think it's most likely that KD and Kyrie are still on the Nets at the start of the season. I don't think it's completely dead yet, because even though he's opted in, the Nets could still look at this situation and be like, do we really want another year of dealing with this shit. They seem very over his antics at this point. They seem over this whole situation. And it's a little bit different if Kyrie's forcing your hand as far as, you know, considering other options. And, you know, if Kyrie's gone, then KD's definitely gone. It's different if Kyrie wants to return and KD wants him back. That could easily shut this down. But if the Nets decide that they want to trade him and there are actual trade suitors out there that are willing to A, take him on, and B, have an assurance from Kyrie that, yes, I would be interested in staying here next summer in free agency, then we can talk. But that's a lot of dominoes that have to fall. And it just, it feels unlikely at this point, even if it's not completely dead yet.
I think I'm going to go on the ledge and just say that I do feel like this is a tad bit premature.
Mm.
I don't know. There's something about this whole situation that doesn't necessarily feel like everything's kosher all the way through yet.
Right.
Well, I think it's because, like, Chandler in the comments just brought up a good point. Nets owner was liking anti-Kyrie tweets earlier this week.
Yeah, and he
was saying some sassy stuff on Twitter. And I understand, like, again, you could just say things to be like trying to play hardball because agents are saying things to play hardball and combat some of the rumors that are circling around the team and the issues at hand or whatever. But if it gets to the point where both sides are publicly being like, and then you have a third party in there and KD who are all saying things about each other, like at some point in time, you guys just got to be take a step back and be like, maybe this isn't a healthy relationship for us.
What do rich, powerful men hate the most? When their employees try to force them into something that they don't want to necessarily do, which was what Kyrie was trying to do. He was trying to strong arm the situation because he had the power, because he could claim, I'll just opt out and sign a mid-level exception, so you better get something for me. And so I'm sure part of it's that. Part of the acrimony is people in power don't like to be, you know, jerked around like that, so they get angry about it. I think Kyrie had every right to play it the way he did, but look, I think the only teams that would be interested were the five he had on his list, because nobody's going to take a swing on Kyrie hoping that all of a sudden, you know, he's just the guy that plays along and does everything the way you want if you trade for him, if he doesn't want to be there. He wants to be with the Lakers, it really sounds like. I don't think that the Nets are going to accept, you know, Russell Westbrook in return for that. It makes no sense for them. So, mm-hmm. The wild card here, I'll say this, is if the Knicks strike out on Jalen Brunson and then go to the Nets and say, we got all these draft picks. We got some young talent.
But by then, DA is probably out of the picture because DA will have signed either his deal, or he would have gotten an offer from somewhere else that he signed. And so then you can't trade DA. If you're the Suns, KD would be out of the picture at that point.
But that's what I'm saying. Why? I think there's such a slim window here for the Suns to pull this off this offseason. And it would take somehow Kyrie either backing off of what he said yesterday, or the Nets changing their mind and trading for Russell Westbrook's big money there, which would make no sense either. So I think if anything happens, it's later.
I think with the DA situation, I would be surprised if it goes beyond a certain window as far as those talks or possibilities. But there is a scenario where all these other teams that like we've talked about on draft night, they don't have the cap space or the trades, the means to get DA, and DA looks around and realizes the Suns were his only option, and the Suns try to kind of lowball him a little bit, and those negotiations take longer than expected. That's kind of the only situation where that would give that kind of Kevin Durant situation to time to develop. I have a really hard time seeing the Nets pulling the plug on this themselves. Like, if Kyrie was out, okay, that's one thing. That's reading the writing on the wall. But to preemptively blow it up when you've got them coming back, I don't think they're a title contender right now. Like, they're in the luxury tax. They're deep in the luxury tax. And they are fully relying on Ben Simmons to be the Ben Simmons at his best and Joe Harris to come back healthy after an injury-stricken year. Like, I don't think they're a title contender. So in my mind, it feels like the Nets should be looking at this situation like, okay, what are we going to do? Are we just prolonging the inevitable by bringing these guys back for another year and a first or second round exit?
Like, I mean, they have four viable pieces that they can completely retool their entire franchise with, to be honest with you, and put themselves in a position where they could take advantage of a youth movement and kind of retool and get the people that they think will be beneficial in the long run. Like right now, they don't have those guys, in my estimation. Kyrie is by far the most unreliable player in the NBA next to Ben Simmons. Like those two are neck and neck with each other and for different reasons. Like it's just, it is what it is. And I understand, you know, what Espo said about Kyrie, you know, doing what he had to do and taking advantage of the situation. But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, cool. On paper, he took advantage of the situation, but I fundamentally disagree with why he's trying to take advantage of the situation, because that dude didn't do what he was supposed to do to get on the court. Like, he just didn't. Like, and as a franchise, you can't trust players that aren't going to do what they need to do to get on the court. You just can't. Whatever their reasoning be, you're paying them to play basketball, and he wasn't playing basketball, period. And so I wouldn't trust Kyrie with anything. I wouldn't trade for Kyrie. The Nets, if they can find a suitable trade partner, man, I would trade him for a bag of chips right now. I would not care.
But we're assuming, too, that if Kyrie gets traded – in any reasonable amount of time, that the Nets are just going to right away turn around and deal KD, like they have to get rid of him as fast as possible. And that's just not the case. They could wait to deal KD too. That's the thing here. They could wait in further into the summer. But they could try to just see if they want to keep him long term. He's under contract for 4 years. There's no neat, tidy package where this gets done.
No, but because you have him for 4 years, and right now, KD's value right now, as we speak today, is the highest it may be as we move forward. Like, right. you might get halfway through the season and him still be healthy and him still, you know, be a valuable asset. Sure, but you're taking that risk if you play him at all. Like right now, he's a valuable asset, especially considering he has 4 years on his deal. So like any franchise, especially the Suns, knowing that you would get KD for 4 years, you would throw the kitchen sink to try and get KD at this point. So I feel like KD's value is tremendous at this moment. And the Nets know that too. Like they do. So if they can't find a way to make this all work, I don't think it's over. And I definitely don't think it's over in terms of Kyrie being traded. I don't think that's over. Now, KD come to the Suns, you know, that's debatable.
Why not trade for both of them?
Gross.
Do it, Espo. Do it. No. Do it, Espo.
CP3, DA.
I'm just kidding.
Throw in some expiring contracts, some picks.
The math would make my head spin for starters. Look, I have to look into that. But I'm on the record of saying I would much rather have Chris Paul than Kyrie Irving at this point. And I don't care if that's controversial today. I did.
I pulled the ripcord.
I did, but he pulled the cord.
I egged him on. My bad.
Kyrie is a phenomenal basketball talent, and his career has been highly overrated by one finals performance that he had.
I will say that entirely.
I'll take Chris Paul's career and where he is now, what he brings to the table now, than Kyrie's career and what he brings to the table now 7 out of 7 times of the week.
Yeah, but wouldn't you take KD over DA any day of the week?
Yes, I would.
So then it evens out where it might be worth it. Look, I'm just saying this because if Dreamin's free and everybody on Twitter is going to tell me, no, KD's still coming here because they're in the, where they're still trying to negotiate in their mind ways to get things done, then why not imagine a world where you're just like, well, we'll bring both of them in then.
Well, because A, I need to check the math on that.
Well, I can figure out the math.
And B, like, I'm not out here saying anything of the sort. Like, I still think it's probably not going to happen. I just am not ready to shut the door on it entirely yet.
I'm also not ready to say this. I would take CP3's career over Kyrie. I just wouldn't.
I think
Kyrie's high is higher than CP3's.
Are you
high.
Insane?
That's insane.
The guy's called the point guard. He's one of the greatest point guards of all time.
Kyrie is literally might be one of the best scorers we've ever seen in the league.
No, he's not.
He did it 1 year and he's been a head case.
1 year?
In the playoffs when it counted? Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, now you're changing the rules. You said 1 year. It's not 1 year.
He's 1 year in the playoffs when it counted.
He's habitually torched defenses. Like, how do you even understand how this is? Plus, I would take the ring. Like, Kyrie came through in the finals and carried that team in the fourth quarter to get a championship. CP3 disappeared in the finals when the team needed him most. I would take Kyrie.
Yeah, if CP3 had LeBron.
It's been proven you can build teams around Chris Paul. CP3 had Booker.
What's wrong with that?
Booker isn't LeBron.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
is that?
Yeah, LeBron's at worst the second greatest player of all time. That's not Devin
Booker.
And
LeBron didn't do shit on offense in that fourth quarter. Kyrie carried them. All LeBron did in that fourth quarter was the block. That's it.
One great finals performance. That's what I'm saying. I'm talking about the series. He had a great finals. He had a great playoff run. His career has been highly inflated by that. You take that away, you got a guy who teams have not been able to build around as their best player, who has sabotaged team as he's left them, team after team, and hasn't done shit without LeBron on his roster. Like, he is overrated as hell. I'll take Chris Paul's career 10 times out of 10 over
his. I think the biggest thing within this argument, too, is you cannot separate the person from the basketball player.
Well, in this
case, I don't think that you should in any situation, to be completely honest, but you cannot separate the two. And even though Kyrie is a phenomenal basketball player, you also have to take into consideration. And when you're looking at the Suns specifically, right, like in this dream scenario or fantasy or whatever.
Nightmare scenario, however you look at it.
We're talking about the Suns. Would James Jones and Monty even entertain the idea of a guy like Kyrie on their team? Because if they don't like, based on the rumors, I'm not saying this is like legitimate or anything, but based on the rumors, if they don't like DA, they're definitely not going to like Kyrie. So that's the whole situation here. Is you just have to take both the player and the person.
Absolutely. And Josh Hunt is making a good point. Kyrie is a fantastic individual basketball player. He's not the best team player. And I agree. I agree with that. I do agree with that. Like, Gerald would take the CP3 team route and what he's done his entire career. I'm taking the flash in the pan. Like, I'm taking the one moment where he was so good, he helped get a championship. Like, and if we had that flash in the pan last year, maybe we have a ring. But we don't. And so, do you want the ring or do you want long-term success? And that is basically the Arizona argument for my entire life, is we've never had the hottest players hot ever. Like, we've always had the second, but we've never had the hottest players hot. And so, like, Barkley, hot as hell, but then there's Michael Jordan, and it's like we get so close. We have CP3 and Booker playing phenomenal, then they run into fucking Giannis, and it's like you never have a player that can overcome that greatness. And what I'm saying is if Kyrie was in that game, or if he was in the finals last year with the Suns, maybe his hot would be enough to overcome somebody like Giannis. And that's the argument that you're essentially having. But I do agree, CP3's career way better than Kyrie's. Totally agree. But if we're talking about individual talent and how high it could possibly take you, that's a different discussion.
I love that we got into this entire storm, not the Kyrie stuff, but the KD stuff, simply based off the prem, there's never been any concrete information tying KD directly to the Suns. It's always been, if this happens and that happens and this happens, well, we think KD will want to play here and would ask for this. Like, and now people are getting bent out of shape over something we were trying to connect the dots on and hoping would happen. I just think it's funny that.
But that's how the offseason works, though. And how many times have we seen or heard rumors like this for other teams, right? Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, we never heard anything concrete about Kyrie going to Lakers. Not from Kyrie, not from the Nets, not from the Lakers. No, it's all been speculation and people in the business who have speculated certain things. And then that's how these things end up manifesting themselves. So again, where there's smoke, there might be fire, is basically what everybody's hoping for.
Did you hear Windhorse or Woj or Shams or anybody have a direct report linking KD to this?
No,
that's the difference. Kyrie and the Lakers were directly reported with bringing up sources. We have not heard concrete in that
and
light
again,
connecting.
And again, but that didn't even happen. And it seemingly didn't even come close to happening because he opted in yesterday.
Because the Nets didn't want Russell Westbrook is what it came down to.
But
So that's what the reporting says, because that's what they were going to have to do to make the math work. And the Nets said, we wouldn't want a Russell Westbrook.
I will say this. I'm not completely hyping up Flex, but Flex was right about CP3. Mm-hmm. He had talked about it before it happened, mm-hmm. and it happened. He's doubling down on the KD thing as if it's not over. And I'm going to trust him because he hasn't been wrong.
Flex. He was not wrong on CP3, and there were some rumblings and some of the fire that could have led to this. I'm just simply saying anything we've heard has been speculatory when it came to KD and the Suns. And everybody, there's a whole faction that's either disappointed now or is, the fire's still burning for this, right? And look, I'm not going to be heartbroken if it doesn't happen. And if it does happen, great. That's exciting in and of itself. But like,
are you prepared to eat crow? Because I just got something.
What'd you get?
I got Los Angeles Clippers center Ivak Zubac has just agreed on a 3-year, $33 million deal.
Which I don't
know. Is that factual? Or
it's from Woj. It's a Woj bomb.
I don't understand how these reports are coming out when free agency hasn't started yet, but
because nobody gives a shit anymore. Like, it's just how it is. Hey, can't you negotiate with your own team?
You're not supposed to, not until free agency starts. You know that they all do, but it's just interesting that they're being reported beforehand now. So
the league's just like, screw it, tampering's gonna happen.
Basically.
Yeah. All I know is that normally we talk about Four Peaks while you're having fun with your friends or a good time out.
Is that what we're doing right
now? But Four Peaks can also be there for you if you're having a rough time with your team. You can grab all your friends. You can come hang out with us tomorrow at the Four Peaks Brewery on 8th Street in Tempe, and you can drink your sorrows away. Or if you're on the camp that's super stoked about this, you can celebrate with Four Peaks beer. Whatever one floats your boat, we're here for you. And so is Four Peaks. So come hang out with us tomorrow. We'll be live with all of our shows at the Four Peaks Brewery again on 8th Street in Tempe pretty much all day long.
Yeah, and we'll be going live at 2 p.m. So come join us. Grab a Suns brew or whatever is your drink of choice, and we'll have a fun time out there. We're gonna do a live snake draft too, which you can heckle our picks live if you want.
$3, $4 drink specials. Like, come on out, have a beer. Chat with us. We can talk about Kyrie and CP3 all day if you want.
And look, I'm not throwing shade at Flex. That wasn't what I was trying to do.
We keep seeing that. That's not what's happening here at all. It's important to note that this time of year, there are a lot of smoke screens. There's a lot of information that's out there. We're not, you know, bashing anybody for reporting what they hear.
I didn't think you guys were.
No.
No, but the chat brought it up, so I just wanted to make that clear that was not what was going on.
From my perspective, at least, as someone who covers the team, my job is to cover, you know, facts that we get presented with. And right now, all of the breadcrumbs, all of the facts point to KD and Kyrie running it back for one more year. If we're wrong on that, cool. It's not like I'm out here making predictions, but I am just saying, based on the evidence we have in front of us, here's what I think is going to happen. If KD comes to the Valley, that'd be awesome. But this is what is in front of us right now.
Gerald won't make a prediction. I will. It's not happening.
Well, if it does, then we know Espo's
Being the reverse jinx if it gets you a superstar.
I mean,
I don't give a shit.
I'm totally cool with you.
But he says that because he wants to win. That's why. He's like, well, you know, I was reverse jinxing it no matter what.
I'm not saying,
it's a win-win all the time.
No, look, I'm not saying I'm reverse jinxing it. I believe what I'm saying, but I'm saying if me saying it creates that, like it did with the CP3 stuff, I'm not going to be upset about that, the fact that Katie
I know. That's
here.
Why it's a win-win. Yeah, well, either way,
that's
you're going to look
that's
good.
What life's about. You got to find win-wins, right? Who wants a lose-lose or a lose-win? Nobody. Everybody wants a win-win.
How about a win-win-win?
Well, I'll take one of those, too. Yeah.
Why? We literally just covered this. Phoenix Suns 22. Is Gerald saying Flex doesn't speak facts? No.
No.
Did the audio cut out or am I speaking in circles here?
I think
some people just tuned in.
Honestly, all it is that there are, when you look at Suns Twitter,
Jay gets it.
Half of Suns Twitter who, for whatever reason, dislikes Flex, and then there is half of Suns Twitter for whatever reason likes Flex. And it is the same type of situation as DeAndre Ayton. Half of Suns Twitter likes, half of Suns Twitter dislikes, and neither one is changing their minds anytime soon. And it's become this like hot, contentious conversation, and that just is what it is. Like, but let's, I don't want to be brought into it.
I hate the offseason. I fucking hate it.
Why? I hate this period between the draft and
free agency.
Because people
just want to fight. That's all it is.
I don't mind it.
They get bored and they want to fight, and that's all we do in the offseason. We argue about the stupidest shit.
Well, to be fair, they do that. We all do that during the regular season.
I don't.
Because you're not here on the show.
You're at the arena.
You don't see what we
have to do. But at the end of the day, what you should be focusing on here instead of fighting with each other is at the end of the day, even though everyone has different opinions on the route that we get to a championship, we all want the same thing, and that is a championship. And you have to understand, too, that we all have zero effing control over any of this shit, and it's on James Jones and Monty and the Suns organization. So don't let it ruin your relationships. That's all I'm saying. That's
we don't control this?
Therapy Tuesday now. That's what this has become.
I mean, I thought the reverse jinx was a real thing.
I thought we had control.
I thought we had complete control of what was going on. Damn it.
I have a question that I need Shane or you to answer. I went to this morning because yesterday we talked about the odds on DraftKings for DeAndre Ayton's next landing spot. Mm-hmm. And I was just looking them up right now.
They're gone.
So what happened? What does this mean? Does anybody know?
It just means that, again, there's so much movement that now with the news coming out, it's a developing situation. There's no reason to put odds on it because you don't know. I mean, all of the bets that have been placed are still locked in. Like, that doesn't mean anything. But for right now, they're just going to take it off. I don't know if it's going to come back, but I think also with the free agency deadline and everything.
Debt Nibble has it perfectly said.
What?
At least we're fighting over the possibility of KD in a Suns uniform instead of how Dragon Bender will look in the new uniform design. Yes. 1,000,000% yes. See, he gets it. It's just, listen, these are good problems to have. You're either going to bring back a good player in DA, or you're going to trade and get another great player in KD, or you're going to trade and maybe get a slew of, hopefully, picks or good players for DA. Like, You're a successful franchise from the last two seasons. People want what you have. The Suns realize that. That's why they put in the
practice facility.
No, the $16.4 million option. They took the option on DA because they understand that he has value, and in order for him to be traded, like you had to take that option. So the Suns are going to be fine. They're going to be fine. They're going to be a good team next year. People don't want to hear 64 wins was a fluke because it wasn't. The playoffs didn't go the way you wanted it to. None of us wanted it to. But that doesn't mean it's going to be a recurring thing. They just came off the finals the year before.
Right.
It'll be okay.
I still go back. If you flip-flop those two seasons, and the first year they had a disappointing loss in the second round, and they went to the finals last year, the whole perspective is different, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God, they're on the right trajectory. This is insane. I can't wait for next year. But because it was reversed right now, that everybody's freaking out about that second round exit.
But it's also they're freaking out because they understand that this DA situation was also afoot. And a lot of – before KD was even a glimmer in anybody's eye, people thought – because the rumors were out there that the Suns were basically going to trade him for a bunch of scrap parts. And that would have been a tragedy as well. So that was the debate earlier. And I think that's the desperation and the fear that Suns fans have. Because, listen, we've been down this road before.
We don't want to go back.
With different players. Yeah. You know, Joe Johnson. You know, we were down the road with them. And we felt like we were right there on the cusp of possibly an NBA championship. Joe Johnson leaves. Everything doesn't go quite according to plan, and it just fell apart. Suns fans don't want to go back down that road, so they have a little PTSD with this.
By the way, Peyton Wignis in the chat asked, what do I think about Kendall? Kendall Marshall will be a great player with Phoenix. And then he brings up, are we sure Josh Jackson's better than Jason Tatum? Verdict's still out. We'll let you know.
Ask me in 10 years.
Yeah. Depends on how his career in China goes. I don't know.
Is he in China?
No.
He's not.
He's with Detroit.
Not yet.
I thought maybe I didn't miss some news.
So anyway, back to this DA thing. You can't bet on that on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, but There are tons of ways to come out on top in the octagon. And for UFC 276, there's one more that you guys can take advantage of with the DraftKings Sportsbook app, the official sports betting partner wrong? Of Dude, the UFC.
Yeah, I was doing my Bruce Buffer impersonation, right?
I even hurt you,
fighting out of the red corner.
Yeah. I thought you had a hernia. You're like,
I don't know that I. I'm
Shane
keep
got
reading.
It. Shane is our resident UFC expert, and he understood it immediately.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
These guys don't understand UFC.
Nice try, Shane.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use promo code PHNX. Bet $5 on any UFC 276 fighter to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code PHNX this Saturday at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Shall we continue to fight over some Trade Machine Tuesday ideas?
I would
ideas?
Love to fight about, yes, Trade Machine Tuesday.
Let's do it.
How exciting. All right, trade number one.
Wait. What? Aren't you going to sing it?
No.
Come on.
Sing the song.
Sing play the song. Song.
Play
sing
the clip. Song. Play the clip.
Sing the song.
No.
Play the okay. clip. Play the clip, Shane, if you got it. Just, ah, we don't have it.
Trade Machine Tuesday. Yeah.
All right. So Gerald went far more in depth than we're going to go on the show here over at gophnx.com in an article that he wrote today. He also added in a handful of other trades that we're not going to discuss today because, quite frankly, it would take us far too long. Mm-hmm. So if you want more, you can go to gophnx.com, sign up to become a member, and get access to all of that amazing content that Gerald writes for our website. But what we are going to talk about are four different trade options that Gerald put together for us. Trade number one, the Suns receive Eric Gordon for Dario Saric, Landry Shamet, and a 2023 first round top 10 protected pick. Yay or nay?
From what is being said, I think the Suns want to keep Saric. So I think the Suns may be a nay on this front because I think they look at Saric as being one of their options in the backup center spot that can actually facilitate. But I still would say yay just because you need that shooting and a secondary ball handler more than I think you need Dario Saric.
For the longest time, I've been like, come on, I think people overvalue Dario Saric. But I will say this. I'm coming around to the fact that I do feel like we need to keep him mm-hmm. just because, you know, when JaVale, as much as I love JaVale and what he provided to the Suns last year, there was just a little bit more to be desired in terms of his overall effectiveness for longer periods of time, especially when DA would get in foul trouble. You know what I mean? Like, he was only good for 12 to 15 minutes a night. That's it for JaVale. Like, otherwise, he was fouling out regardless. So I like the idea of Dario staying on this team. So if you can make this work without giving him up, I would be all on board with it. I'm not so sure if I would include him in the deal either.
So before anyone jumps down my throat about any of these trades, these are just a thought exercise to give an idea of what it'll
hypotheticals,
cost.
Hypotheticals, if you will.
Yes, hypotheticals, what it'll cost to get some of these players. The Rockets are obviously going to want something of value. Landry Shamet, maybe they're not as high on that. They can take his four-year contract because the third year's partially guaranteed and the fourth's the team option. They're going nowhere right now. They're rebuilding. It's good to have role players on decent contracts for that reason. Saric is an expiring deal. And then they would want some type of draft asset or a young player. So I threw in a first-round pick. That's probably going to be in the 25 to 30 range anyway. So it's not that valuable, and the Rockets get what they want as far as a first-round pick for Eric Gordon. My thing with this deal is, when is Dario Saric going to come back, and how healthy is he going to be? Because he did have that second knee surgery on his meniscus back in May, and there's no timetable for his return that we've heard of since.
Which we never got any real confirmation on whether that was a new injury or a re-injury or just needing, hoping that it was like
typically
it would heal on its own, but then ended up needing surgery. We never got real confirmation on that though, right?
Typically for meniscus, it should be 6 to 8 weeks in terms of, you know, getting back on the court and doing things. But as we know, Dario's had other issues that kind of led to this too. So I don't know, man. Like, I didn't think it was going to take him a year to get back on the court. And here, then they were, and so
Well, see, with the ACL tear, I wasn't as surprised it took him long because he did tear it in like game one of the finals. But with this, I don't know what the timetable is for his return, because the Suns did say in their release there's no timetable for his return to basketball activities. So until we get an update, probably around training camp or whenever, like I don't know what to think of Dario Saric other than he's an expiring contract and teams will like that. I don't know how much he's going to be able to produce on the court.
Look, this was the move back in February.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like now, okay, if it happens, but that was the move that should have been made at the deadline.
Yes. And we should note that Brian Windhorst did report leading up to the draft that the Suns were interested in Eric Gordon again. So that's why we brought his name up again.
What else we got?
All right, trade number two, DeJounte Murray, Jakob Poeltl for Dario, DA in a sign-in trade, a 2023 first round, and a 2025 first round top 10 protected. Yay or nay?
Fuck no.
Yay in a heartbeat.
No.
Oh, you're getting away with murder on this one.
Okay, well, since you're the odd man out, go ahead and
that's a lot to give up for DeJounte Murray. That's just a lot.
It's like, DeAndre Ayton is what it comes down to.
I mean, well, and you're also giving away Dario and two first-round picks. Like, nah, I'm not on board with that one at all.
If we're not even going to scout guys, who the hell cares about first-round picks? Deal them all.
It's very true.
All right. This one, because I'm getting very different opinions on this in the chat.
Yeah.
The Spurs are expecting a Jrue Holiday-like return in any trade. They're looking for multiple first-rounders. They're looking for young players. They're not going to trade a guy who just made his first all-star team at age, 25, who's an all-defensive candidate for nothing. So in this case, you're throwing two first-rounders in, but you're also getting Jakob Poeltl back, who, as I keep saying, is highly underrated. One of the best defensive centers in the NBA. He's got a nice little mid-range game. He shot like 62% from the floor last year, and he's a better rim protector than DA is. He's not better on the perimeter, but he's a better rim protector.
But what has he ever done?
What has DA ever done if we're going to do that?
Led a team to the finals?
He didn't lead a team to the finals.
He was the defensive anchor of a team that went to the finals.
No, Mikhail Bridges.
That's not leading a team.
Oh, get out of here.
That's not leading a team to the finals.
No, he was not.
I just said that to just get
my point is, obviously.
See, this is the type of bullshit I got to deal with. Like, I don't know if he's being serious or not.
My point is, obviously, DA is a better center than Jakob Poeltl. I'm not arguing that. But I'm saying if the Suns are of this opinion that they don't want DA back and they can replace him with a league average center, Poeltl is better than league average, and you're getting DeJounte Murray in this deal, and all you're giving up aside from DA is
Dario and two firsts.
Dario and two firsts. Like, that's.
Do you think DeJounte Murray is a remarkable improvement over DA? Like the win difference. Do you think that there would be a significant difference there?
If you get Poeltl in the deal, I don't think remarkable, but I think when it comes to playoff time, you have another guy who can create offense for others instead of a guy who is an elite play finisher, but still needs his offense to be created for him for the most part.
I do feel confident that half the chat is like, fuck no. And the other half is like, fuck yes.
That's how you know it's a good trade idea, when half the people hate it and half the people love it.
You also have to remember a lot of these thought exercises, as Gerald put it in the beginning, mm-hmm. are also based on the idea that should the Suns really desperately want to get rid of DeAndre in this offseason?
Right.
Right? Okay. It's not necessarily that we're saying the Suns have to get rid of DA. Yes, because I see all the comments saying, like, DA was huge. The Suns need to keep him. This is a thought experiment around if the Suns decide they have to part
ways. Some people love Gerald. Some people are not.
This is the first time I've ever seen the chat be mad at Gerald.
And let me just say, everybody bashing on Poeltl has never watched Poeltl play. So don't come to me unless you've actually done your homework, first of all.
Okay,
second of all, I'm not arguing that DA is not better than Poeltl. That's Poeltl stupid.
That's the value.
Like,
the chat says.
He wouldn't even got up to the rim.
All right, I'm going to ask what I feel like is a semi-legitimate question that came up earlier in the chat that I pinned for us. So Henny said, if this trade happens, right, and we have DeJounte on our team, how's the lineup at the fourth quarter going to look with Murray on this team? He said that's why he can't be included maybe after CP3, though.
You don't like three guards?
The Spurs have no use for CP3. And everybody keeps talking about we should trade CP3 for this or that. he doesn't have value to teams like he does on the Suns. Like, he came here, he helped build this culture, and with his contract value where it's at right now, other teams are not going to be trading for him unless they're trying to make the same Suns type leap next year. The Spurs aren't in that category at all. So
there's not really any team out there that's really in that category specifically.
The Lakers, like, would be the only team that would make a CP3. But, yeah. But you'd have to take Russell Westbrook.
On top of that, if you're the Lakers, like, does CP3 make you a significantly better team than you were last year? I mean, you might be able to argue, like, well, Chris Paul's getting up there. I don't know how much better they would be. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah. Look, the one thing I do hate about this is you're sending DA to the Spurs, and we've talked about that before. Yeah, I hate the idea
place I don't want him to go.
Of that, but I do like Murray's game. I don't know. It does cause a problem, though. It gives me point Guardians of the Galaxy vibes. You know, the old,
But they're all better than every single one of those players.
But you're still putting three guards in your lineup there. So
I think you figure it out later. You have enough talent, and you have your Chris Paul successor. Everybody's focusing on the Pirtle part of the trade and the DA part. DeJounte Murray's the best player in the deal. On either side, he's the best player involved in the deal. League, so. Just saying.
All right, we're going to move on.
Hold on. Jill in the chat says, Gerald has worst takes. I swear he's like Skip Bayless at PHNX. I love that they're just making it up.
Gerald, don't give these dudes any.
I'm not going to say anything.
Also,
I came in with such positive fucking vibes today, and this is the shit that I get.
Like, this is the worst too, because y'all are on Gerald's, you know, like, what? And I came in here real hot and spicy at Gerald off the top before the show started.
Also, when I had my take about CP3 and Kyrie, half the chat was like, Gerald. Fuck Saul. Yeah. And the other half was like, I get it.
That's usual, though. They never turn on Gerald.
Yeah, well.
Exactly.
Never turned on Jared.
You know what's happening? It's just with all this Kyrie, Katie stuff likely being dead in the water now. Yep. We all have feelings and we need to direct them at somebody. Yes.
Well, I mean,
and
really,
we're easy targets. So
really,
it's okay.
What has happened over the course of the last 5 months is Espo and I have constructively torn this thing all the way down to the studs because we hated Lindsay and Gerald being the favorites. So, yeah.
Some men just like to watch the world burn.
Let's go.
That's the two of you. At least,
that's why we're wearing black together today.
At least they can admit it. At least they can admit it.
I love you, Gerald.
I know.
Gerald, you're our fine guy, and screw the chat.
It's just a thought exercise. That's all it is. I've already said on record multiple times on this show, we all feel the same, bringing everybody back. If you're not going to get KD, is probably the best course. So this is just for shits and gigs.
I love Trade Machine Tuesday.
I hate it. Well, you mentioned KD, so let's talk about some potential KD trades.
Why do we go back here?
Because this might make people feel better that it's not completely dead. I don't know. Back. Why okay. not?
Let's talk about not anyway. Dead in the water. Let's go.
Let's do
so
it.
We're going to trade Cam and Mikal.
No, that's not what we're doing.
No?
No.
Okay.
We're going to trade Jay Crowder, Landry Shamet, DeAndre in a sign and trade, a 2023 first round, a 2025 first round, and a 2027 lottery pick.
I think this
lottery protected pick.
That, thank you. Lottery protected pick.
But we're guaranteeing we're in the lottery.
That'd be rough.
You will have a lottery pick.
I decided to skip a whole word in there because I'm charging you for the word now, Gerald.
I think the Nets laugh you out of the room with this one.
Three first rounders?
You think the Nets would laugh you out of the room with this one?
Yes.
DA and three first rounders?
I think they're going to demand Cam or Mikal as part of it.
I don't think they laugh
I think they
you
want,
out of the room.
I think they will want two young players and a handful of firsts. For you, if you're going to trade KD on that contract that they have, I don't see it.
I'm down with this. Keep DA, trade Espo. I like that.
Aww. Do I get to demand which
well,
other
Espo's
show
already
I go
trying to?
Trying to
leave to the Cardinals show.
Yeah,
so.
Espo's been wanting to leave the Suns, so it's okay.
Look, I think with this trade, you have to bear in mind that, like, the Nets are owing the Rockets a ton of picks for that James Harden trade still. So they want to get some type of draft picks in any deal. Three is a lot on top of DA, but they could possibly push for a more player-based package. And if they do, we also have the other Brooklyn Nets trade scenario that we can talk about, which is DA and Mikal for KD, oh. Straight up, sign and trade with DA, obviously.
Gerald chose violence again.
This is not new. This is something we've been talking about since the KD thing came to light in the first place.
Lobbing grenades today.
And again, half of the people out there are completely on board, say yes 100%, and the other half are like, hell no, I'm not doing it. So,
oh man.
Taking napalm to the chat today, so it's fine.
Why the hell not?
For me,
I feel like I've asked you guys before if you would do it, and you all said yes too.
Did we?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we did.
Were we ever on the record?
I think so. And here's why: this is obviously a lot to give up for KD, who's older at this stage. But you'd still have Chris Paul, Devin Booker, KD, Cam Johnson, and you would need to figure out the center spot. But that's still a terrific four-man core. You can be creative with your mid-level to be a championship contender with that group.
This is a very interesting exercise for Mikal Bridges, because that's essentially what this comes down to. Do you want to trade Mikal or don't you?
Mm-hmm.
DA is out of the question. You know you want to trade him for KD, but Mikal has got the heartstrings of a lot of people, and they do not like the thought of Mikal, you know, runner-up as a defensive player of the year, going to somewhere else. They just do not like it. I, on the other hand, I'm okay with this trade. Yeah. I would do it. I would do it because you have 4 years of Kevin Durant. You have one more year of CP3. He comes off the books next year. Well, half of his contract does. And you still have wiggle room to get other players. Like, I'm okay with it.
I'm about to pour the gas, light the match, and throw it.
Oh, no.
I would go as far as saying you trade DA, Mikal, and Cam to get KD.
No.
Look, you talked about you have to be bold. Do you want to win a championship? Do you want to be the bridesmaid and not the bride like we are in Arizona? Put on the chaps and let's do it. Let's go straight for that. There, you know, if you're going to get a superstar, go all in and make it happen. If that's the cost of doing business, then that's the cost of doing business. I would do it in a heartbeat.
But you also don't want to gut your roster so bad that it's just, because then it would just be Booker, Chris Paul, KD, Crowder. You'd still need to fill the center spot.
Yeah.
And your best bench player is Campaign or Landry Shamet.
Give me that $6.3 million exception that I'm going to get some guy that's like, I want a title. I'll take a little reduction to get in on some of that sweet, sweet championship. Mm. Well, why not?
Okay, how about this package? Because the DA and Mikal thing was for a reason. It wasn't just I'm picking two of the three young players. It's because their salaries match in a sign and trade with KD. If you did KD for DA, Cam Johnson, Landry Shamet, Torrey Craig, and two first-round picks in like 2023, 2025, or 2027, would you do that? DA, Cam Johnson, Shamet, Torrey Craig, and two first rounders for KD.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I
wouldn't
even think about it.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Not, I wouldn't even blink. Mikal gives me pause.
Mm-hmm.
Cam does not.
Okay.
No, I know a lot of people in reverse, mm-hmm. and a lot of people love Cam. They think he has a higher offensive upside than Mikal, but I'm not one of those guys. Well, Mikal to me, I definitely pause more with Mikal than I do Cam, for sure.
So. Can we scroll back up? Brendan Clean, one of the friends of the program in here, says, wouldn't feel real to win a championship with a bot team. I call bullshit on that. Does anybody remember the one championship in Arizona, the Arizona Diamondbacks in 2001?
Half of them don't.
No, but that shit felt amazing. And that was the most bought team in the history of sports. And that was an amazing title. And I would never trade that memory in for anything. So, yeah, I'd buy a damn title if I could.
Also, after 50 plus seasons of Suns basketball, do you think I give a shit how they win a championship? I just want to know what it feels like, because the Diamondbacks happened in 3 years, whereas the Suns have been the Valley franchise for half a century. Like, I just want to taste that shit.
You know how much I don't care if it's bought? I could write a check for $2 billion and give it to the NBA and it guaranteed a title, I'd still take it that way too. I don't care.
I won't deny him, because I agree with him as far as it would feel better if this group homegrown, home drafted, fan favorites, like the vibes from that 2021 finals run, the bubble run, even last year up to the playoffs, were, in the words of Devin Booker, immaculate. Like, it was so fun. I don't think I'd go that far if you trade, you know, Bridges and DA or Cam and DA for
After last season? After last season? Like, if you let's just play devil's advocate. After last season and the way they just fell on their face and it just was sad. Right. It almost reminded us like, oh, that's why we cherished the year before so much. Mm-hmm. And then this year, if we had whatever group we had and they somehow led us all the way to the championship, I think the same vibes would happen as the year before last, where it was just, they were immaculate. And especially if you know, like, we are the better team, we should win this championship. With Milwaukee, there was always that little, Justin, I don't know. They do have Giannis, and if he turns it on at the right time, maybe they could come back, and then they did. Mm. And it was like, you never quite felt that way about the Suns. This would be a different scenario, so I would absolutely love it.
Can we scroll up? There was a comment I want to address. Well,
while you're scrolling up, here, I do think...
right there, James.
Espo, you're crazy?
Oh, that they would sell your soul to the devil for a ring?
I already have tried that, and it hasn't worked, all right? I do it myself, thank you very much. It was a reverse jinx.
It didn't work.
Oh, wow.
I think as far as like a bot championship goes, if you could keep at least... If James Jones could figure out a way to get KD here without including Mikal in a trade, I don't feel like it feels bought. Like, if you still have Book and Mikal on this team, I don't know that I would say it feels completely bought. Now, if you don't have Mikal, you don't have DA, and you don't have Cam, then maybe you could say that. If it's just Book.
Nobody's a son until they're here and they put on a uniform. Like, I don't care if you had to trade to get guys or you had to sign guys. Like, would I love a championship with Mikal, DA, Cam, and Booker being the centerpieces? Hell yes, that would feel great. But I'd also love a championship if it was any other freaking human being in a Suns uniform. I don't care how you get there.
The real question is, do you take a Western Conference championship with a new owner or win the finals with the current one? That's the real question.
I would take a title with Satan himself as owner of the Suns. Oh, that's where I'm at. I don't care.
I want to watch the world burn.
Oh, no. look, I think it would obviously mean more if you have Book and at least one other of the core, that Cam, Mikal, DA core. But, like, if this ownership hadn't had such a track record of being cheap and trading draft picks for money and all that stuff, I would probably lean into that harder. But, like, if you have to buy a championship, that'd be the first time this franchise has done that. So, like, do it.
A willingness to spend money isn't the track record.
It won't be as meaningful, I don't think. But it's still a championship, still a title.
How is it not as meaningful? Winning the title, having the Larry O'Brien Trophy, getting a banner in the building, no matter how you do it, is meaningful.
Also, as meaningful.
But how can you compare something that's never happened?
Well, because it's just common sense. Like, if you do it with your homegrown players, guys that the fans have grown to love over years, versus Booker, KD, and a bunch of randos that they bring in on veteran minimums, that's not... It's still a championship, don't get me wrong, but it's not to the same level as the other scenario.
What have you ever heard Lakers fans go, you know, only like two of those banners really count?
We don't want to be Lakers fans. Do we want to be Lakers fans?
I would take 16 championships in a second.
I don't want to be a Lakers fan.
I don't
want
to be one of the greatest franchises of all time.
Yeah.
I said Lakers fans, I don't want to be the Lakers fan.
I don't think the Lakers organization ever went, man, I really regret buying Shaq and getting Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. They weren't Lakers, so those titles kind of sucked. But, you know, like, I don't get the argument. Yes, would it be nice to do it with guys you drafted, a team you built? Sure, it would. But, like,
that's all I'm saying. That scenario is nicer than the other one.
Okay.
One is better than the other. We can say that.
No.
They're both great.
I think they're equal.
They're not. How? You don't want to see Mikal, DA, Cam, and Booker hoisting a trophy. You'd rather see KD, Book, and a bunch of randos who have played here for one year.
Shane, did we take all the sharp objects away from Gerald so he doesn't stab Espo in the throat right now?
We can say that they'd both be great, and we would take both in a heartbeat, but to deny that one is better than the other is ridiculous.
Why is it better? I'm not going to feel any better if it's Mikal, who hoisting it or if it's Kevin Durant hoisting it. I don't give a shit as long as it's a title.
It is better because you have more of an investment in the people who
I have 54 years of it. Well, okay, 38 years of investment in this.
I was like, damn, Espo, you old as, you know
Look, there are people.
I got reincarnated and I came back to the same shit. It's bullshit.
I've had two lives and I've had to deal with this.
He really did sell his soul to the devil. He died once, came back.
Still I just keep coming back and there's no title.
This is how you know Espo's gone to the dark side when his voice gets really high-pitched all of a sudden.
This is like the sports version of Russian Doll. I just keep coming back and there's no title.
Oh, man.
I get that either one would be great. I'm just saying if you have a more investment, if you have more of an investment in the people who do it, you'd probably love it a smidge more.
I don't give a shit if they trade Devin Booker to get the title.
Ooh, wow.
On the next episode.
Brendan said you're welcome for the chaos.
Thanks, Brendan.
Appreciate you, bud. He lit the match and walked away.
Brendan, I hope you visit me in the cardiac ward of the hospital, all right?
Max Simpson in the chat says, you guys are louder than the solar company next door.
That is an epic, epic inside joke.
Yeah, these guys right here, they're so loud.
Listen, okay, all I'm saying is we know that Four Peaks is there for you on the ups and the downs. So is OGs.
Somebody bring me some OGs.
Espo needs some OGs right now. He needs that, what is it? With the, is it Indica?
Indica.
Is
he
like,
needs to calm down.
If you give me sativa right now.
Oh, Espo needs some of those OGs, scratch made THC, some Indica brand ones. So he can just calm down. He can zen out. He can breathe through all the BS and come back tomorrow in a better mood. And if you guys also need that, OGs just launched their first ever limited additional seasonal flavor, Pina Colada, perfect pineapple and creamy coconut blend, perfect for the summertime. So check out OGs online at OGsBrands.com or on Instagram at OGsBrands. You can also find their products at your local dispensary, but you must be 21 years or older to purchase.
Oh my God,
I need a championship. I need a championship dealer. Anybody know where I can get my fix? Because I need a bad, boys. I need a bad.
Oh my gosh. There's a comment in the chat that said Espo would kill Jedi younglings for a championship.
If I could wipe the Star Wars franchise off the face of the planet in order for the Suns to get a championship,
Espo also accidentally walked into something by saying I would trade Devin Booker for a championship.
Yeah, everyone said, take that back. You've gone too far.
Okay. Now it's my turn to light the match. Gerald just shook his head no for the Star Wars trade.
I'm not even touching it. I'm not touching it. I've had enough for today.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
I'm not lying. I would trade Devin Booker if it guaranteed a championship. Okay. I would trade my mother if it guaranteed a championship.
Espo, stop talking.
My wife. Not my daughter. That's where I draw the line.
I was about to go up the list for you.
But the rest of my family? Sorry, guys.
Well,
ship them off in Ewok costumes.
We can't promise that Espo is safe from Gerald, or that Gerald is safe from Saul, or that Saul is safe from me, or that your souls or your mothers or your wives are safe from being traded
or
sold to a certain someone. But what I can tell you is that we want you to at least be as safe and healthy as you possibly can. So COVID-19 vaccines are free for everyone 5 and older. Those 12 and older are also now eligible for a booster. Visit azhealth.gov/findvaccine for a location near you.
This one's signed by Kyrie.
Oh, God.
I think we need to leave now.
I think so.
Thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate you and all the chaos that was today. Chris in the chat said, get the tortillas, Lindsay. Yes, tomorrow we are going to do a tortilla challenge. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be
fighting in the red corner
at the Four Peaks Brewery, and that will be a part of our show. So tune in, as always, 2 p.m. on our YouTube channel. Just like always, if you miss it, of course, you can always catch it later or wherever you listen to your podcast. Until then, thank you. We appreciate you. You can follow me on Twitter at LindsaySmithAZ. You can follow Gerald at Gerald Borgay. You can follow Saul at Saul_Bookman. And of course, you can follow Espo at Espo. Espo, go ahead.
I'm so worried.
Remember, I'd trade each and every one of you and your families for a Suns championship. Ahoy, hoy. Megas in control and he ain't never gonna let go. PHNX though, Lindsey Gerald Espo. Saw past the ball, we here to turn up the tempo. Got to understand me, I'll always rep the family. Rally in the valley like Dan G, no plan B. Always on the job, my team move like the mob. Turn the beat on, I throw it down like DA on the lob. Best combo since KJ Marley and Charles.